So I want to start in, and I was reading a few couple weeks ago, and I just thought of the scripture, and y'all know I talk about it all the time. It's one of my favorites. It's where Caleb was 85, and he was still taking the land, still fighting giants. But as I was reading that, it was just like it went everywhere, all over the place. I took 6 pages of notes sitting at the table that day, just running everywhere. And I said, I love it when that happens, when the Holy Spirit just begins to quicken the word and bringing the word to life, and you just open up everywhere. It's just like it's so neat. So I love it. But I want to start in Numbers chapter 13, because I want to do the backdrop of the story first, and then we're going to go back into Joshua. But in Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, it's, Moses had sent them out to spy out the land, and they had come back, and we know all the story. The 10 spies had a negative report, and the Joshua and Caleb had a positive report. They knew who God was. So it says, they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So that's a key word there. They showed them the fruit of the land. They showed them how good it was in that land to try to get rid of all their negativeness. Then they told them and said, we went to a land where you sent us, and it truly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. And the word is a big word, but it also means a little word too. They said, nevertheless. And that means but. And for but to be a three-letter word, it sure is a big word, because it stops a lot of us in our tracks. I know God said, but. I heard somebody say one time, it's time for you to get your butt out of the way. Right? It's time for us to get it out of the way. The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. There was giants in the land. They were there. And then we'll go on down into, then Caleb quieted the people, verse 30. Caleb knew what was happening. And he quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once, because we are well able to take the land and to overcome it. Caleb began to say, hey, no, we're not going there. Don't even go there. Don't even put that bad report there, because we already have the word from Moses that the land belongs to us. And we're going in and we're going to possess that land. So he says, we're well able to possess it and to overcome it. But all the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And drop down into verse 30. He said, verse 32, it's talking about the giants are there. They're men of great stature. Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in their sight. And so we were in their sight. Now, who told them they were grasshoppers? It certainly wasn't the word of God. He said, they said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in theirs. When you begin to look at yourself and you begin to see a grasshopper mentality, you begin to look like a grasshopper to the enemy. Until you open your mouth and begin to talk all this negativeness, all he's hearing is the authority and the word of God speaking. And in another translation, it says in verse 33, the grasshopper mentality kept them from going in. It wasn't the strength of the giants. It was their mentality, what they thought. They saw themselves back in bondage. If we don't begin to see ourselves winning on the inside first, we will never see it on the outside. We have to begin to see ourselves winning on the inside and knowing who we are on the inside. Amen? Amen. David killed a giant with a sling and a stone. But let me ask you this question. If he had killed a dwarf, would we be talking about David today? The giant killer? The giant slayer? No. But he killed a giant with a stone. The bigger the problem, the greater the victory is. And I've heard it said before, the bigger the giant, the harder it falls. The harder it falls. So when we're in a battle and we've got things going on, it is a great time for a great victory. It's an awesome time for a great victory. Now, let's turn over to Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. And this is, I love this scripture here. Right there. We'll start at 6 and we're going to go through here. The children of Judah came. We're just going to run through this real quick. The word of the Lord that said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. And Caleb says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant, that's in verse 7. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea. We're in Joshua. Did I say Numbers? We're in Joshua. I changed it to Joshua. Sorry. Y'all are probably wondering where I was. I knew where I was. Y'all may not have figured it out yet. But anyway, he's in verse 7, Numbers chapter 14, verse 7. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back the word to him as it was in my heart. Caleb had the word of the Lord on the inside of his heart. And how many times have you brought back a report that was a good report that was in your heart? The doctor may have told you one thing, but the report of the Lord on the inside of your heart said a totally different thing. Amen? Amen. So that's what Caleb told him. He brought back the report of the Lord that was in his heart. Nevertheless, there's that word again. My brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore to me on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's inheritance forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Those words are big words. Wholly followed the Lord our God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive just as he said these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while in the wilderness, we wandered. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. And in another translation it said, now listen y'all, he's got to remember he's 85 years old. He's 85 years old. He says, I can go out to battle and I will come back successful. I can still travel and fight just as well as I could when I was 40. That was the mindset that Caleb had. So he said to Joshua, he said, now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day that Anakim were there, all those people were there. He said, and I will be able, he spoke this out. He said, I will be able to drive them out just as the Lord has said. So that was what he was proclaiming and he was declaring. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Canaan. And then it goes on down in verse 14 and it says, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And in verse 12, when he said, give me this mountain which the Lord told me I could have. The notes in here, it says he was not weary, nor was he intimidated by any giant. Because God promised him the land, and there was no giant going to get in his way. He wasn't going to allow a giant to get in his way. In verse 9, when it talks about that Caleb wholly followed the Lord, his God. He had the word of the Lord. And he wholly followed what God had said. You know, he didn't just say, see how sometimes we say, oh, well, maybe Moses just missed it. Maybe the land really wasn't mine after all. Maybe he missed it. Well, you know what? Maybe even God missed it. That's possible. Maybe that could have happened. That's what he could have said. If Caleb had not kept the word of God in his heart, and it stirred up on the inside of his heart, not only would he have missed out, but who else would have missed out too? His children would have missed out too. Because God gave the word. He said, I'm going to give you this land for you and for your children forevermore. So if Caleb had tucked tail and ran and said, I can't take those giants. I can't take them. And he had agreed and sided with the other people. Not only would he have lost that day, but also his children for generations would have lost. How many times have we got a word from the Lord? And we knew it was a word from the Lord. There's different times when you've had words and you were questioning and you kind of put it on the shelf for a little while.
Come on.
But when you've got a word from the Lord, you know it is a word from the Lord. And when you begin to read the word of God and it begins to speak to you, you know it's a rhema word from God right then that quickens on the inside of you.
That's right.
Well, who comes immediately to steal that?
The enemy.
The enemy will come immediately and try to steal it. But Caleb had faith in the word that was spoken. It has to be in our heart for us to speak it. Let me tell it. I'm telling us all every something, all of us. If you don't put the word of God in your heart when you need it the most, it will not be there.
That's right.
It will not be there. And you can say, well, so-and-so spoke this, or Pastor Stacy said that, but when you need it the most, if it is not real on the inside of you, and it does not quicken on the inside of you,
that's
you're
right.
not going to get what you need
that's
from
right.
the Word. It's got to be on the inside of your heart. You've got to put it in. We've got to put it in.
Yes, we do.
We can't expect a pastor or Sunday school teacher to put in the word of God in our children. It is our responsibility to do it.
That's right.
And not just a little here and a little there, but daily do it. And put it in our hearts and put it in the hearts of our children. How long are we going to let our children miss out because we won't do what the Lord said for us to do?
Come on.
How many times has God told us to do something and we decided, well, I don't know if I'm going to do that right now. That wasn't our choice to make.
Right.
When God spoke, he said, do it.
Amen.
We don't have the right to say, well, I don't want to do it right now. I'm going to wait a little while. But Caleb said, let us go up at once. For we're well able to take the land.
That's right.
When God speaks a word to you, there are some that takes time. But when God speaks a word and it quickens to you on the inside of your heart to call somebody, to go see somebody, to text somebody something. Go up at once and obey what God has said to do. Caleb could have been a victim. You know, that's what we see so much. And I cannot stand it. The victim mentality.
Come on.
Oh, well, if those 10 other spies hadn't brought back that negative report, we could have took the land 45 years ago.
Come on.
For 45 years, Caleb could have said, I've sat here and saw the promised land and wished I was there. But you know what? They didn't do what God told them. They brought back the negative report, and now here I've missed out. I'm just the victim here. Hey, after all, I did bring back the good report.
That's right.
It's the victim mentality. Caleb could have pointed fingers and said it's all their fault, like Adam did. It's this woman's fault that you gave me.
Come on.
He pointed the finger. Caleb had been wandering around with these people for 45 years in the wilderness, but you know what he hadn't lost? He had not lost sight of the vision. He had not lost sight of what God had told him and what God had spoke to him. He said, I don't care what you... And they were dying in the wilderness because God told him, he said, you are never going to enter the promised land. So Joshua and Caleb were seeing people dying all day. I mean, off and on until finally all of them were gone except... I think the ones under 20 years old and Joshua and Caleb. I think that's what it was. But he did not lose hope, and he never lost sight of what the vision and what God, the word, had spoken to him. And he kept it in his heart. He kept it in his heart. And Caleb said, I don't care what's got me here. I don't care how I got here, but for these 45 years, I have seen that promised land, and I will go into that promised land, and I am going to take that promised land for me and for my children forever. He said, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm going to take my inheritance. I'm not going to lose my inheritance and let my children lose out. Because I'm stuck in the past of what could have been, what may have should have happened, what didn't happen. I'm not going to stay stuck there because I still will lose. Amen. I'll still lose out. It's time that we stop blaming something or someone else for why we are not where we feel like we should be. It's past time. And I know there's horrible things that happen to people. I know that. But it's time that on the inside of us, Jesus lives. And we put that in the past. And that we ourselves begin to say, this may not have been the best thing. It may have been hard on me. Things may have happened in the past, but I refuse to stay there. And I see the promised land. He saw the fruit. When we look into the Word of God, we can see what God wants us to see in the Word of God. We can see our promised land, not just heaven, but what we're supposed to be walking in here. Like we talked about when we were singing the verse. David said, I would have fainted and lost heart. I would have given up a long time ago if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land that I'm living in right now. I know I'm going to see the goodness of God when I get to heaven. But I've made the choice that I know that I will see God's goodness in the land of the living. On myself, on my church, on my city, on my marriage, on my children. We will see the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
If we don't stay stuck in the past.
Right.
As to why this could have happened and what happened here and what happened there. It's time that we get up and that we take our inheritance,
amen,
what God has given us. It's time that we rise up. Amen. Caleb had to take it. It wasn't a magic wand that God sits up in heaven and he waves this magic wand and just poof, there it is. Caleb said, give me this mountain. I'm going to take it. Give me the mountain. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God.
That's right.
We press. We don't get a magic wand wave, but we do get the word of God that lives and abides forever and ever and ever, and it never fades out.
Amen.
God's words never die. They never die. When he speaks to you a word, it never dies. It may have been 45 years ago, and I know some of y'all aren't even in your 40s yet, but it may have been 45 years ago that God spoke something in your heart. It is not dead.
That's right.
It is not dead. It still hasn't died. It is still there, ready to be birthed. Have you ever had a prophecy? Has anybody ever spoken over you?
Amen.
That you knew it was from God, like I said earlier, you knew it was from God, but you've wondered sometimes, I just hadn't seen it yet. I just haven't seen it yet. Well, Joseph had to wait a long time from the time he had the dreams until he saw the fulfillment. Abraham had to wait a long time before he saw Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
So why do we think we're any different? Why do we think we're any different? We don't need to be an entitled people where we think that God should work on my dime or my time and snap my fingers and I want it to work. And if it doesn't work, well, then he didn't answer that. He missed it. That wasn't God. We shouldn't do that.
That's right.
We shouldn't say things like that. Do we really believe that when we read this word, that it is the word of God?
Yes.
It's not just a word. It is not a history book. But this is the word of God speaking to you and me, alive every single day. We have to trust it and we have to believe it and keep it in our hearts and keep the vision. It says, write the vision and make it plain. When God speaks to you something and you know it in His Word. I mean, I can go back when I was in college in Valdosta, and that's been a long time ago. I don't know, probably in 88. Some of y'all weren't even born then. But anyway, in 88, I can take you back to the place in the road where I was when my car broke down. And I know Valdosta's changed a whole lot, but still, I can go back on that street and I can say, right here. Out of my spirit, I heard, I am a very present help in the time of trouble. When we hear the word of God, you know it. You know it. And it's on the inside of your heart. But you know what? If I hadn't put the word on the inside, I wouldn't have known that the Bible said that.
That's right.
I would have never thought that. So we have to keep the word of God on the inside of our heart. 45 years Caleb had the word of God and he never forgot it. He didn't let it slip. He never forgot that word.
Right.
In verse 11, he said, I'm not just an old man that's forgotten the word of the Lord. That's what he could have been saying. Well, I'm old now. I've forgotten the word of the Lord. He may have been 45 years old, but he had never lost heart. He had never lost the sight of the fruit that was in that land. He knew the giants were there. Caleb knew the giants were there. But he had never lost sight of it. If Caleb could do this, let me tell us this. This is so important. If Caleb could believe the word of the Lord with an inferior covenant, surely we can believe the word of the Lord with a better covenant based on better promises. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. We have a better covenant than Caleb had. We have a better covenant than Joseph had. We have a better covenant than Elijah had or Elisha had. When we look back at those old the prophets and the things that they did in the Old Testament, y'all, our covenant and our promises are better than what they had.
That's right.
Are we doing as much as they are? Or have we lost sight of the word? Have we begun to take the word of God for granted? Have we not hidden it in our heart so that we might not sin against God? It's high time that we begin to put all this other stuff to the side and begin to rise up in the strength of the Lord and begin to face the giants that have held us in bondage for so long. Because not only is it going to cost you and it's going to cost me, but it's going to cost my seed. It's going to cost my children. When my children were growing up and I could see that fear was trying to attack them and anxiety, I said, oh no, devil. You put that on me. You tried to destroy me with it. You tried to take me out with it. But let me tell you, the greater is he that is in me, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And you had a bad day that day that you put fear and anxiety on me and you tormented me with it for years, because I'm here to tell you right now, I will never allow you to torment my children nor my grandchildren with fear and anxiety.
Amen.
Never. But let me tell you a secret. If I, by the grace of God, had not overcome fear and anxiety, I'd still be living in it, and my children could be having it too.
That's right.
So it takes a fight. It takes facing the giant. Was fear and anxiety, anybody in this room ever dealt with anything like that? You can tell me and agree. It is a giant.
That's right.
It is a giant. But I'm telling you, I don't like to lose.
That's right.
At anything. And I'm certainly not going to lose when it may cost my children something.
That's right.
So it is time, y'all, for listen. It is time for us as the body of Christ that we rise up and we get off of our behinds and we begin to fast and we begin to seek the face of the Lord for our children, for our grandchildren, for the children in the church that's rising up. If you don't have children and grandchildren, find somebody in your church. Find somebody at your work that needs, children need prayer.
That's right. Yes.
They need things. But it seems like, for some reason, and it's a trick of the enemy. It's the enemy that has tricked us into getting ourselves so focused on ourselves and what's going on in my life and what's going on in this my children, what's going on in my family, that we have lost sight of the big picture.
That's right.
We've lost sight of the promised land. No, I'm not talking about heaven right now, but we've lost sight of what we should be doing today. What we should be doing now. Are we really passing the torch to our children and to our grandchildren and to the children that's rising up in this church? Are we really passing the torch? Showing them that I will wholly follow the Lord my God. I'm going to wholly follow the Lord my God no matter what. I'm going to seek Him. It may have taken me 45 years of getting what's mine, but son or grandchild or young people in the church, you're going to see us face those giants, and you're not only going to see us face them, but you're going to see us defeat them.
That's right.
And you're going to see us take our territory.
Amen.
Because it belongs to us. We're not going to sit here and say, well, I'm too old. I've already got too old. Caleb at 85. Who in here is close to 85? Joanne, you're close. Miss Louise, you're 91. He was going out, said, give me this mountain. I'm fixing to face these giants. I'm just as strong as I was at 40 years old. So y'all, we've got it in us. The Word of God is on the inside of us. The Bible says that if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it is in you, it is in me. The very same Spirit. When every devil and demon in hell that could be unleashed against Jesus to keep Him in that grave could not hold Him in that grave, it cannot stop you from facing your giant.
Amen.
And defeating your giant.
That's right.
You're not too old, too young. Well, I'm too poor, I'm too sick. The giants are too big.
That's right.
Or, well, it's just really too hard.
Come on.
It may cost me something.
Come on.
I don't really want it to cost me anything. If it's not easy, don't, Pastor, don't ask me to do that now.
Come on.
If it's not easy, I don't want to do that. Well, really, God hadn't called me to do that. And I understand there are different callings. But we are all called to pray. We are all called. The Bible talks about when Jesus told them, He said, you didn't visit me when I was in prison. You didn't come see me when I was sick. You didn't feed me when I was hungry. Every person in this room can do that.
That's right.
I mean, we may not be called to go to the prison, but there are people on the outside. Let me tell you, there's people sitting in churches that are in a worse prison than the people behind bars.
That's right.
I would have probably been better off behind bars than what I was going through in my head. They were freer, more free than me, I can tell you that.
Come on.
So it's time. It's time we stop the excuses. Caleb knew the giants were still in the land, but he said, I don't care. I'm going in. I've already seen the vision. That land is mine, and I'm facing them. He said, there may be giants, because you know, I didn't even read the part where it says they're going to be bread for us. And I think that was in Numbers. He said, they'll be our bread. Caleb knew that. And he said, I don't care if the giants are there or not. He said, my God is bigger than a giant.
That's right.
And I'm taking them for lunch today. They are going to be my bread today. They're going to be my lunch today, because I'm facing those giants. He knew. He said, 45 years I've thought about that land, knowing that I could have taken that land, that we could have went in and took that land. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you're facing in this room today. It doesn't matter how big it is. Our God is bigger.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus on the inside of us is bigger than anything we are facing. Any addiction, any fear, any oppression, any worry, any child that is going astray, any marriage that is struggling, any financial problems, God is bigger. You keep the word of God inside your heart and inside your mind. You guard it. It talks about guarding the word of God. It is our responsibility to guard the word of God. He never let the promise leave his heart. What giant are you facing today? Is it a fear of man? Is it a fear of doing what God told you to do? We can't let that stop us anymore. We can't let that stop us anymore. No more. We're letting too many giants occupy our land.
That's right.
Occupy our mind. Occupy our homes. Occupy our churches. Occupy our states, our counties, our nations. But have we got tired of the giants defeating us? Have we got tired of being defeated by those giants? And I know there's a time that we, as long, you know, we're fighting, not that necessarily we fight, but we do fight the good fight of faith, knowing who we believe in. But sometimes, I know y'all probably would have told me too, if after 45 years, I was still, I can't get over this fear. I can't get over this fear. I can't get over this fear. I can't get up. Y'all finally would have said, listen here. You probably would have said the same thing Stacy told me. The bottom line is you don't trust God. And it made me very angry with him. But you know what? He was right. I didn't trust God. If I trusted God, I wouldn't be in fear for half my life. Yes. We do still fight the good fight of faith. But that is one thing that I don't deal with now. Now, of course, there's going to be another little obstacle. The devil's going to try to throw a fiery dart. But you know what? That giant is defeated once and for all.
That's right.
And I will never, and I'm not saying it in my strength, but I will never, ever go back there again. Never. So how long have we been serving Jesus and still facing the same giants? Over and over and over. Have we got lazy? Do we not want to be challenged or pushed to do the hard things? It's not easy. Vince, you can tell us military work is not easy. But it's worth it. It's worth it to fight the good fight of faith. So like I said earlier, that attitude could have caused Caleb to lose, and not only him lose, but his children lose forever, because he would not take the land. But thank God for Caleb, that we can look back on that and see we can do it. We can face those giants. After 45 years, he went back and defeated the giants. If we don't deal with giants that we have been facing, you know what? We will be dealing with those giants, and our last words out of our mouth could be, I never overcome that. Don't let that be the last words out of your mouth. We'll go to heaven. Thank God we'll go to heaven. But when God is knocking on our door and saying, let's fix this, let's get this right. Once and for all, let's deal with this. Let's deal with it. No matter what it is. If it's offense, if it's unforgiveness, if it's sickness, Jesus is knocking. Let's fix this. Time is running out. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. And that we begin to be a people that rise up and wholly follow the Lord our God. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit that lives on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Get the Word on the inside and go up at once and take the land. Go up at once and take the land. We've got it in us. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us and He's in us. Go up at once and take the land. Amen.